Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that a concern though going in? That a couple games rolling? Like Jaden's obviously had some yards, but the running backs maybe not.
I wouldn't say concern, John, but I would say emphasis. And so it's important to me to make sure we have balance to where we can do that. And so I recognize there could be some ones that are dead runs, not dead, but, you know, ones that you just keep staying with it, and then you go from there.
Dan Quinn talking about the lack of running back yards here in recent games. I mean, Brian Robinson Jr. in his two games against the Cowboys this year, 5 for 10 and 5 for 13. That's 10 for 23 yards. Look, let's not kid ourselves. There's an issue with running the football, but there's also something about Dallas in the way they own the line of scrimmage in the two games against Washington that maybe just was specific to Dallas. I'm not saying they don't have a problem running the football in general with everybody else other than their quarterbacks. But man, in two games, did Dallas dominate in the trenches? All right, we do have a guest coming up from Tampa at 11:20. Scott Reynolds from the Pewter Report will jump on with us in about 20 minutes. We'll get a quick look ahead to the Buccaneers, who were in deep trouble yesterday at one point at home in their season finale against Spencer Rattler and the Saints. Kind of a similar game that we played against New Orleans. All right, I gave you the list of things that I liked. The second half offense, Marcus Mariota, Terry's second half in particular, red zone defense, and a few other players that stood out. Ertz, Wagner, San Ristil, Chin, Fowler, Jr., Eckler. Now, let me now get to some of the areas that weren't just a problem yesterday, but some of these project to being a problem on Sunday night. So I guess we got to start offensively, even though it was a bad day defensively, other than their red zone stops. First half offense, that may have been the worst performance of the season. 3 points, four punts, 64 total yards. They could not run the football. They could not throw the football. They couldn't protect. They couldn't hold on to the football when it was thrown to them. There were bad decisions made. There were busted plays. It was really ugly to watch, considering just how good we all know this offense can be and has been. You know, was Jaden hurt, and was that a factor? I don't know if it was that much of a factor, but clearly he went into the tent. I'm surprised when he came out of the tent that there was a reason that he went in there, thigh, knee. It was called mild soreness by Quinn at the end of the game and was a new injury. It was not something that he had at any point this year. He was very specific, I think, with John Keim or with Ben Standing after the game. Was that a part of it? I didn't love the game plan offensively. I think this team is at its best when they are having problems up front in throwing quick game, a lot of it too. They got to some of it, but not enough of it. They got to much more of it in the second half. I don't know. Jaden obviously talked about it after the game, and Quinn said if this had been a playoff game or a must-win game, he would have played. And keep in mind, the first half against the Cowboys yesterday was reminiscent of the first half against the Cowboys at home on November 24th. I mean, two aberrations, clearly, of these 17 games, but the same team and a lot of the same issues getting handled up front. No Biotish, that didn't help. Brandon Coleman got hurt. Wiley was back, but yeah, I mean, it was not a great day in the 1 to 2:20 p.m. time slot offensively. It was one of the worst I have seen. They really need Biotish back next week. You know, I thought one of the things that was obvious yesterday is I don't think they wanted Jaden to run as much as he had to last Sunday night, especially after he got banged up. Mariota became the best part of their run game in the second half. And that's the concern right now, you know, offensively, is up front and the running game minus the quarterback, and then protection when you have to do pure dropback stuff. Now, with Jaden and even with Marcus, they can create. They can scramble. Jaden's best play was a 16-yard scramble up the A-gap on a 3rd and 10. But there were some bad decisions. He took a 4-yard sack on the sideline when he could have easily thrown the ball away and saved 4 yards. There was kind of a busted read option play. That was with Eckler. Maybe that was Eckler's fault. I don't know. He was off. The offense was off. The play calling didn't seem to match where they were having difficulties. He had a bad half. The offense had a bad half. I'd grade Jaden as an incomplete because, like, you know, we didn't get a chance to see him in the second half. In the second half against the Cowboys in the first game, it was completely different. And he had the half that Mariota had. Offense, first half on the list of things that were not good from yesterday. And concerning in terms of their ability to really establish the run, stay ahead of the chains. Look, they've proven all season long that down and distance disadvantages aren't disadvantaged. They're not as disadvantaged by those as other teams are because of the quarterback. But you don't want to live in that, not in a one and done on the road against Tampa. Defense was not good yesterday, minus the red zone play. And again, some of the red zone stops weren't them. I mean, Rico Dowdle's wide open for a touchdown throw, and Trey Lance pulls the string on it. He had a couple of throws that were late to receivers that were open. If he threw them in rhythm, would have been touchdowns. But they had a good day in the red zone. Anytime 1 for 6 is your number defensively in the red zone, that's a good day. But as I said before, the most concerning thing about that number is that the Dallas Cowboys, with Trey Lance at quarterback, reached the red zone 6 times. You know, that's not good. Trey Lance probably had the best day of his career, and it wasn't a great day. He was 20 of 34 for 244. He missed a lot during the day, but there were wide open receivers. There wasn't enough pass rush. The coverage behind it wasn't very good. They couldn't stop the fullback on 3rd or 4th down. They had 150 yards rushing. You know, you can look at the yards per carry, which was decent against Dowdle, but Dowdle stumbled a couple of times just as he was about to break some big ones. Deuce Vaughn had his way with them. You know, just too much given up against a team that, yes, has been playing well, and I pointed that out on Friday with Cooper Rush, but Trey Lance hasn't had a moment in the NFL. And yesterday, he looked competent. And by the way, they beat themselves up. They had all those penalties. They had 4 false starts. And he missed receivers. He was late on plays. They were 7 of 17 on 3rd down. Could have been better without the penalties. I don't know, man. This is not very comforting defensively going into the playoffs. And yet, it's like Fowler Jr.'s good. Wagner's good. Luvu's good. Chin's good. Quan Martin didn't play yesterday. I think he's good. Like, there's some players and there are some performances, but as a group, it just hasn't come together. And when it has come together, it's because the context of the game score-wise has gotten out of control and the team's become one-dimensional, or the team just sucked. You know, Dallas, with Trey Lance, should have been shut down. They ran 20 more plays than we did. They dominated time of possession. And again, all you have to say is they got to the red zone 6 times with Trey Lance, a quarterback, and without CeeDee Lamb on the field. I thought Sanra still, you know, had some really good moments. Love him. You know, I thought St. Juice, the 2 penalties on that one drive, the DPI penalty was a terrible call. I felt badly for him. I thought the coverage was good and the penalty was a bad call. The holding call, I thought, was a good one. But the DPI, when he was covering Mingo, was just an atrocious call. 8 different Dallas receivers caught passes, you know, and not one of them was CeeDee Lamb because he wasn't playing yesterday. When you consider the opponent and the quarterback, the defense just isn't good enough. and it isn't playing anywhere near good enough right now. And next week, you get Baker Mayfield. You get Bucky Irving. You get Mike Evans. Okay, you get Liam Cohen, and he's done a phenomenal job in his first year as their coordinator. It's quite the matchup. Now, I think we can score, but I think they're going to score. If Dallas got to the red zone six times with Trey Lance, Tampa's getting to the red zone a bunch next Sunday. Drops in the game were a problem. Obviously, the big one, De'Ami Brown on the trick play. De'Ami can throw it, man. He can really throw it. Look, Zacchaeus, I love him. He's smart. He's great culture guy. He's been a really good player at times. Last week had the game of his life for our team, although it included a big drop on the final possession of regulation. He's had a couple of big drops this year. I think about that Baltimore game. They had a chance to keep the ball when they were in a one-score game, and Jaden drilled one right between the numbers, you know, down to about the 20-yard line on third down, and he dropped that one. But he's valuable, and he's smart, and, you know, the drops, though, have been an issue. And Terry had a drop yesterday in the first half. Bates had a drop of a Mariota ball. I counted 4 to 5 drops in the game. You know, offensively is going to be their calling card next weekend and hopefully beyond. They're going to have to keep the ball, and they're going to have to score a bunch. Against Tampa, they're going to have to score a lot. If they beat Tampa, they're likely going to Detroit. They're going to have to score a lot. On the list of things I didn't like, I mean, this isn't really debatable, people. It's one of those things, you know, again, a 14-year-old, a 9-year-old playing Madden knows you don't go for two up four with 11 and a half minutes to go in the game. There are too many possessions. There are too many scoring types. The card that says go for two when you're up four should have a notation to it. When there is maybe another possession or two max left in the game. And that way, if they score a touchdown, you force them to kick the extra point to beat you. But you want to go up 17-12 there and force them to go for two if they get a touchdown. You know, and then if they miss, it's a one-point game. If they make it, it's a three-point game. But that's not the spot to go for two. I think most of you know that. I don't know why Dave Gardy or anybody else thinks that that's the spot. I know the card says that, but the card should say that when there is, you know, like one possession each left in the game. When there are still multiple possessions left in the football game and multiple scoring opportunities and scoring types, you kick there. Lastly, on the things that I didn't like list, you know, they lost the turnover battle again. They ended up even on turnover margin this year. The takeaway D that we got promised in the offseason is one of the only things that they did not over-deliver on. You know, they under-promised and over-delivered on a lot of things. Amen to that. And by the way, the thing they emphasized a lot during the offseason, we're going to play hard. We're going to play, you know, with a high motor. These are the kinds of players we've got. And I think we saw that all season long. I think they delivered on that. They just didn't take the ball away a lot this year. You know, 8 takeaways in the last 8 games. They lost the turnover battle for the third time in their last 4 games. It was only 1 turnover on a punt return, but they didn't get any back from Trey Lance. You know, Luvu had a shot on the Payne deflection. He had a shot. That's another area. You know, Payne and John and this defensive front, they're going to have to be much better than they've been Sunday. All right, I have some other observations to make. You know what? I'll do that right now. I've got it's 2 minutes. First, when Dallas made a mistake, a strategic mistake on that final play, when there's 6 seconds to go, you've got time for one offensive snap and a three-point game before you kick the field goal. Defensively, you hold across the board. All right? If it's a pass play, which it has to be, because Washington doesn't have any timeouts. You do not let Terry McLaurin get off the line of scrimmage. You maul him, and you take the defensive flag in the half the distance to the goal, and there are 2 seconds left, and now Washington's got to decide to kick the field goal or go for it. You can't do that on multiple plays, but you can do that on one play. And Dallas screwed up strategically in that spot. On that last drive, did anybody else see? I haven't gone back and looked at it. It's in my notes from the play. The face mask that really bailed them out on the first play of that, or second play of that drive, with Mariota getting sacked back at like the 4 or 5 yard line, I don't think it was the face mask that was grabbed. I think there was just a quick tug on the back of the helmet, maybe.
It was the, he basically palmed his forehead. There was no face mask grab.
Exactly, right? Okay, good. I wrote that as a note. I'm like, I don't think that was a face mask. That was a crucial call. Because if not, I think it turns out to be like 3rd and 16 or something like that from their own 3, 4, 5 yard line. Also, just one nit to pick on the final drive. When he hit after the 33-yard run, they spiked the ball. The next play, the throw to Ertz. The next play after the 33-yard run, they didn't spike it on the next play. They spiked it after the throw to Ertz. Way too slow of an operation to get up and spike the ball with 6 seconds to go. It just was not urgent, I didn't think, enough, or maybe not organized enough. You know, he threw the ball to Ertz in the field of play, no timeouts left. The play ends with 21 seconds, 20 seconds. They don't spike it until 6. I think they have to get that operation to the point where you end up with 9 seconds left. Now you got 2 shots at the end zone before a field goal. All right. Scott Reynolds from the Pewter Report. We're going to talk Bucks next.